Love and emotion. Is that all you need? Just a little love, a little emotion with it? Are you in love? Afraid to show your emotions? Or are you afraid of love and afraid of what emotions may come with you falling in love? Interesting, isn't it? Very interesting. We don't like to put our emotions on our sleeve, but hey, after you have shown your emotions, are you afraid of the outcome, sensitivity, recourse? Can you find real love or true love or pure love in less than 3 dates? How can you imagine to do that? I am your hostess. Yes, I am. Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Valcourt Designs, broadcasting in you, the worldwide listening audience on this Tuesday, March 5th. Can you believe it's March already? 2024. You can call in at 845-241-9985. 845-241-9985 to be on the air. You can Skype and listen in the background in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/touchthroughradio, www.blogtalkradio.com/touchthroughradio, or you can hit me up through text like a lot of you like to do. Oh, Miss Inez, I like that. Amen. Jesus. But yes, and comment and do whatever you like to do in the background or in the chat room. Or in case you miss an episode, you can listen on demand at blogtalkradio.com/letsdoradio. Because if you miss it, you never know what might happen the next time. You know what? To keep me on the air, you can donate to Let's Do a Radio at Cash App, $ASCVALCOUR, or through Venmo at MZ-INEZ. Or if you know my cell or my tel, you can always hit me up through Zelle. Yes, sir. Worldwide listeners, let's talk about love and emotion. Let's see what we can find out about you from the worldwide listening audience. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say. Join us tonight on Let's Do a Radio, Miss Inez says. Let's talk about it. Love and emotions. Yes. Love, emotions, men. Can you show your emotions, your sensitivity? Are you afraid to show your love and emotions? You know, you get those tingly feelings, those butterflies, or what some people call them anyway. But what do the experts say? What do they say? What do they say? A question was asking me about finding love in 3 dates. Finding love in 3 dates? Come on now. It can happen, but you have to really be true to yourself and open up and, you know, just let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. And it's going to be true love because you're putting your heart out there on your line. You're letting your guard down. And true love can happen. Pure love can happen. But first, we need to know, what is the difference between love and emotion? What is the difference? Love is more profound than emotion. The fundamental difference between the two is that love never causes pain, whereas emotion creates all the problems in the world. Emotion is the mind's concept of love, which is conditioned by the feelings generated by the self-interest of a person. That's what I found out. So let's talk about it. What is love? What I found out on www.meaningfullife.com/what is love. True love is the process of two halves of one soul reuniting again for all eternity. This is why everyone is looking for it. Love, like faith, responsibility, and inspiration is an enigma and the single most necessary component of human life. Everyone needs it, but it remains elusive to many. it's hard to catch, and it might just slip through your fingers if you aren't ready for it. If you've experienced heartbreak and feel like a failure at love, or you're in a relationship looking, trying to make love last, now is the time to discover what love is and what love is not. Since it bears little resemblance to the love we see in the film and television, you know, that's canned love, I guess, you know, because they always have the right things to say and the right timing and everything else, or you hear about in love songs and so on and so forth. There is no guaranteed way to find love by approaching relationships with a realistic, holistic understanding of healthy love will certainly improve your odds of success. You all out there, I have a couple of people on the line listening. My, what do you want to call it, my backdoor lovers. I'm sorry, my backdoor listeners. I'm sorry, people. My backdoor listeners. And you're more than welcome to call me at 845-241-9985 if you want to holler at a sister. And there, it seems like there are six keys to love. The single most important ingredient in a relationship is love. The first step to making love. Ooh, there's a lot of steps. What real love feels like versus the myth you've been taught. You know, it's, what is real love? What does Jody Watley say? I'm looking for a real love. We all are looking for that real thing. We get tired of being hurt. We get tired of disappointment. We get tired of the pain. You know, if somebody really likes you, like I said earlier, it's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt at all. Why is there conflict and healthy? Why is conflict healthy and necessary? Because, you know, that makeup sex, yes, that makeup sex is healthy and necessary. We break up to make up. Is that what they say? I've heard that also. And how true love will help you become your best self. Yes, your best self. When you open up and you have that real love, you can't fake real love. You cannot fake real love. Not at all. And we do have a caller that just called in with the last four of 4574. And you want to tell us who you are if you want to join us and where you're calling from?
Hey, this is Pastor Beecham. Miss Inez
hey,
calling
Pastor
from
Beecham,
Little Rock,
how are
Arkansas.
You?
God bless you. Doing well.
Thank you. We're talking about love, and I know you're a pastor.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, when you, I'm sure you do the wedding vows and so on and so forth, and love is patient, love is kind. But, you know, and I want to hear from you because I know even Reverend Marshall may join us after a while because he likes to join us. But what do you feel like real love is?
Ooh. You've been married
how long, you say?
39 years, thank the Lord.
Thank you.
39 years. And you know, you can't have real love without having the love of God in your heart.
It all starts with God first,
and then you got to have love for yourself. You know, you can't. How can you love somebody else and you don't love yourself? You know,
and that's our first commandment, is to love ourselves. Is that not correct?
And then you are able to love others. Because you have the love of God in your, because you have the love of God in your heart. Yes.
Okay.
And love is action. Love is action. I can tell Miss Beecher I love her all day, but until I show her, that's when she know that I love her. Because love is action.
Exactly. Exactly. Because say, for instance, you were deaf or mute, you know. They show love because they have to, signal it. So they have to show love in a different way. So just think of us that way where we have to show love, because if we couldn't speak to our partner, how else could we tell them? How else could we show them how to love, you know, how do I love you? You know, let me count the ways, you know, because that's what I was going to talk about, but, you know. But you have to have that deep down sense of God in you to actually show love, to, because God is love. You know, and if you have the love of God in you, you've got so much more. It hides a multitude of faults and does all these other things. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Amen. Amen. That is so true. And you cannot love God without loving people.
How can you, what did we say? How can you love God, somebody who you haven't seen, and here you live on earth with your brother and can't stand looking at him, can't stand loving him, all this hatred towards him? That's not love. That's not true.
That's
not the
truth. No, it's not. No, it's not.
That is not true at all. That is not true at all.
It used to be a saying when the Lord first saved me back in the mid-80s, it used to be a saying in the church, but they don't say it anymore. It used to be a saying that we're only as close to God as we are to one another. But you don't hear that anymore.
No, cleanliness is next to godliness. That was another one also. True?
Yes.
No, you don't hear that one. Hell at all. Never, ever.
We're only as close to God as we are to one another.
Yes. And I don't know how long you're going to stay on the line, but, you know, with those of us who are out there, you know, because my show is like 3 hours, 4 hours, however long, that when the people call in, that's how long the show is. I just let them keep on talking because sometimes this is the only open line of communication that some people have. They don't, you know, speak to others or talk to others in the same way. So, and the show tonight is talking about love and emotion. And you as a man, because, you know, people are saying, you know, you're not a man if you don't show your sensitive side. How do you feel about that?
I feel like I'm very sensitive, you know. Because it just depends on what it is, you know, because there's a lot of things that I'm too sensitive about. I'm one of the ones that they be talking to, like, before they show anything, like the war and stuff is what's going on in Ukraine and over in Israel, you know. I don't want you just flashing those pictures up on me like that, because I'm sensitive, you know, to seeing people laying out in the street dead, you know, because of war and what have you. You know, I know God ordains war at certain time, but we ought to seek to where we can get along, you know, find ways to where we can communicate with one another where there won't be war. But, you know, you got an evenness in people just to attack other people and to kill other people just because you can, you know, that's just evil.
Right.
That's just evil,
right.
Being,
exactly.
You know, like the Hamas, you know, they're just killing people unnecessarily because you can. And what is Israel to do? You know, they don't want to kill the Palestinians, but you got the Hamas mixed in with them. You don't know who's good. You don't know who's bad. You know, but you know, when you go into the war crimes, though, the raping of women and the killing of children and different things, you know, that's very emotional to me.
I have a question. What does that prove when you go in and do that? I mean, I'm asking you to answer, but I'm not asking you to answer. Yeah. You know, what is the mindset of these people? What does it prove? Oh, I'm bigger than you. that, you know, war, ooh, just.
It's just evilness.
Like,
I mean,
hurt.
It's just evilness. It's evilness. Just evil. You know. You know, it's a sad thing.
Right.
It's a sad thing. It's very sad. And then, you know, but it touches my emotions, you know, because that could have been one of my family members, you know.
Right. But we all are family members. That's just it.
Exactly.
We all are
family members
regardless. You know,
we are
under one God, you know, higher being or whatever people believe or whatever, so on and so forth. But it's like we're all, you know, it's like killing your brother, killing your mother, killing your daughter, killing, you know, all these people. And it's like it just hurts. It just hurts so bad. Let me see. We do have another caller that just called in. 4853. Greetings. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Greetings. My name is Stranger. And I really don't have too much to say. I'm just listening because I got to go outside and I ain't gonna take my device out. Everybody has different views about
Eddie?
A lot of these things. Yes. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you? I thought it was you. I mean, that voice, you know, that unmistakable voice you have. So I was like, okay, I think that's his number. I'm good. How you doing? Fine, sir.
I'm doing well.
Good.
Busy creating new reality. Are you also?
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
Thank
we have Pastor Beecham on the line. He's from Little Rock, Arkansas. And then we have two other listeners as well. I call them my back of the booth listeners. They don't say anything. They just be back there, and I just appreciate them as well. But we were just talking about, Pastor Beecham and I was just talking about the wars and how, you know, love is supposed to be how it's supposed to be. And, you know, why it just hurts me to know that there is war, but that's just part of life. And, you know, people are, like he was saying, are just evil. I just purity evil. And it just hurts because we're killing our brothers, we're killing our sisters, our mothers, our fathers, our children. And over what? For what? For a piece of land? Or is it just hatred?
The shekels, power, you ask me. Not that I was supposed to answer that question. You know.
Well, either one, it doesn't matter. You know my show.
Yeah.
You should know my show. Y'all are more than welcome to answer.
Yeah.
You say shekels
for
following the money.
As well.
But that's just it. What are you going to do with the power after you get it? After everybody's dead and it's just you, then what happens?
Exactly.
I mean, who are you going to rule, yourself? Are you going to come to the States? Are you going to go to other countries and take those other countries over as well? I mean, it just, to me, I'm sorry, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean,
I'd like to add something.
It's part of, go ahead.
I think that this is the reason why the United Nations was created, and even though it's basically the same individuals, maybe not directly brother and sister or brother and brother, you know, the same thing with what's that up there by Russia, where Sleepy Joe sent all those billions of dollars to a nickname.
Ukraine.
Selling them military surplus. Yeah. You know, it's just so many things. But overall, considering that the United Nations is supposed to be a tribunal for peace, right? But all of this foolishness and thuggery that's taking place over the last 10, 15 years, well, and maybe even that long, they're not doing or saying anything. And is that what their charter was supposed to have been created for?
Peace,
no?
Keep peace, basically. Go ahead.
But look what's going on. No, I'm just saying, look what's going on. Look how long the Palestinians have been getting slaughtered and assassinated and murdered for no reason besides being on that landmass for hundreds of thousands of years or 5,000 years, whatever. But same thing with, you know, Ukraine. You know, it's unfortunate. Ukraine was turning the water supply off to Russia. There's just so many things to take into consideration. But overall, there's a big plot of land, regardless of who purchased it or whatever the case may be. There's some beautiful buildings in Manhattan, New York, on the east side called the United Nations. And there's supposed to be representation for every nation on the planet. Right, exactly. And
supposed to be. Keyword, supposed to be.
Right, and this foolishness is still going on. You know, so I just wanted to put that question out there. Isn't that what they're supposed to be doing?
Exactly.
It's supposed to be. Key. Supposed to be. What happened? It just goes out the door. It's like it's not even there. It's like it's been, what do you call it, closed off and locked up, and it's like, okay, y'all fend for yourself, you know. So what do we do? Do we speak up, and do we, march? What do we do? How do we help the situation? Or can we help the situation? Is it beyond help?
I don't even know what we could do. You can speak up about it if you're marching, but how is marching going to help the people in Ukraine? How are they going to stop Putin from attacking these people? You know.
That's true. I mean, okay, so.
It's crazy. It's just crazy.
As Eddie was saying, that all of the nations are supposed to be represented. So it seems like there's only Russia, China, and the U.S., basically. That's the major players in this in everything, in essence, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And Ukraine, okay. So as Eddie was saying, the United Nations, they're all supposed to be represented, but are they really being represented properly?
Wow.
And not only that,
You
remember Bill Cosby, what he said, and I think it was in the 90s. No, it might have been early 2000s. I think it was sometime before 9/11, and I think that was 2000, 2001, so maybe it was in the 90s. How he said that the American people need to strive to become more self-sufficient and travel abroad and look back at their homeland and country, and that way they could really see what's going on. Because you think about it, there's a lot of food that are produced and sold in this country that they won't even allow it on a plane that's going towards Europe. You know, there's a lot of things. You know, even though, you know, most of our people got upset because he said about getting off welfare, blah, 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 whatever the case may be. But the point is, I really feel that he really dropped the jewel. I do know some people, you know, that live in other countries. And, you know, sometimes they'll say things, you know, the more they get to know me. But, you know, they say that American people are very sensitive and defensive. But anyway, there's just a lot going on. Just like prime example, a lot of things that they're saying about, you know, Orange Man, Mr. Trump, you know, but you look and see what they're trying to do to him, and they can't necessarily convict him. But he upset the apple cart. You know, mass mind media has always said bad things about him. Now, again, he did say that those innocent boy and the innocent young fellas who was charged and convicted for that girl, Central Park Five in New York, that girl that was like whatever happened to her in Central Park, it was proven that they was innocent, you know, of course, as usual, 15, 25 years later. But he said that they should have been you know, gotten the death penalty or whatever, he put an ad in the paper, and he still to this day hasn't apologized for that.
Exactly.
And, but overall, some of the things that he did do, you know, just like left hand, right hand, he did do some good things. That's one of the reasons why Kanye, you know, he's always been around rappers, blah, 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 even though all rappers have handlers. There's so many things that you could say basically in left hand, right hand, you know, but all I really want to emphasize on is he definitely of the so-called democracy of the corporation of the United States. And they've been ransacking, I'm going too far on Trump.
No, go ahead.
They've been breaking into his house because they were more so looking for the files that he has on them. Because, you know, I mean, you could see all the murders that have taken place in this country in reference to, in the name of politics. So,
okay.
Thank goodness he hasn't been. You know, I wish death on nobody, but the reality is soon as Sleepy Joe got in office, I'd say about 3 to 6 months after he got in office, he said he changed back every law and policy that Trump put in, and then he said what? Business as usual. See, as long as people get their information from mass mind media, which is controlled and owned by certain individuals, and it don't matter who those individuals are, but the reality is if you only believe or if your only source of information is what you're being told, somebody always controls your narrative.
It's being put on your plate.
You know? Right, yeah. You go outside and it's raining.
You only eat from one plate. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you go outside and you know it's raining because your clothes is wet, right? You go inside and the news is on, and news say it's a sunny day, you know, in whatever town or jurisdiction that you live in. You know, you have concrete proof that it's raining. You know, just like what they said about the testemic. I'm just saying on a certain level, there's so many things that prove that. You know, a lot of things that we're being told is scripted. How could they have 4 different national channels, and no matter which one you listen to, you're still getting the same story?
Right, in essence, yep. And you have Fox, and you have MSNBC, NBC, whatever. Okay, so then you may have the Black Information Network. Okay, but you have ABC, NBC, CBS, basically, right? Is what you're saying?
And all of them, and there's no more Black Information Network because that thing has been sold like 3 times. Now, when Mr. Johnson had it, it might have been something a little bit different, but still, he owned that channel, but he didn't own that network. Same thing with TV1. I think Magic owns that, but, you know, he don't own the Internet. You know, Harpo, you know,
Oprah
owns that, but does she own the cable network? No, she just owns that particular portal. So, you know, they still got to dance. And that rapist dude that was raping Hollywood actresses, that's her boy. You know, she still goes to the parties, you know, on his island.
Epstein?
Yeah, Frankenstein. That's
Epstein?
Right. Yeah, Frankenstein. You said it right.
He's so wrong.
And to bring it back to, for us to just consider this, there's a passage in the Bible. And it says, if my people would humble themselves. Finish it, Rev. Finish it. Come on now. Finish it for me, please.
Yeah. If my people who are called by my name. Would humble themselves and pray.
And turn from their wicked ways, and they would heal the land.
Just,
I used to sing that song. That's a little word, but it has such a powerful meaning.
Exactly.
Just if. if.
Right, but again.
So powerful.
You can go to the sleaziest hotel in any town. If
mm-hmm.
you open the drawer in that nightstand, what's in that drawer?
Gideon's Bible.
Okay. So the manual is basically everywhere, regardless of how people think about King James. The information
mm-hmm.
in that book called the Bible is older than so-called Christianity, right?
Mm-hmm.
How old is Melchizedek? Melchizedek wasn't a king. You could say he was an Israelite or whatever the case may be, but there's a lot of people that call themselves that that's not. But overall, what I'm emphasizing on is if you let your spirit guide you and speak to you and you meditate on those words, I'm almost
mm-hmm.
sure you'll get a different
answer,
a different message in reference to what
mm-hmm.
is said in that book. You know, there's even a passage in that book about nature. The trees came together and said, who will rule over us? Trees. Not man, mankind, son of man.
Uh-huh.
It said trees. So Galatians 4:24 say these things are an allegory. So all these things are coded, going back to the 12 disciples and Jesus, you know, so-called Jesus. They were sitting amongst each other, and one of them said unto him, Abba, which means Father. When we're
mm-hmm.
alone, you speak plainly. But when you're out amongst the multitude, that means it's coded. What he's saying to the people, them with ears, let them hear. Them with eyes, let them see. He's speaking in code to when he's out amongst the multitude. Just like politicians and lawyers, wordsmiths, spells, they speak to the people, but only the ones that know is the ones that's in those societies. But overall, to keep it simple, to bring it back home. If an agape-loving deity actually really blew in the nose of his creation, then there's an essence in him, Psalms 58, all men are gods. Man is gender-free. It's male and female, not exactly what Obama wrote into law, but male and female is man. Okay, but my point is, if his essence is in us, then we are truly more powerful than we could imagine. So if we collectively, regardless of gender, regardless of nationality, decided, like Farrakhan said, and I'm not a Muslim, American or Arabic, whatever, humble yourselves and study, and we will study no more, war no more, talking about the Day of Atonement. And that could be any day people agree to study war no more or be governed by somebody that doesn't have the truest benefit of equality in their heart and mind. If the people would come together and say, this is what we want. Because, again, the Constitution and all these so-called edicts says for the people by the people. It doesn't say for the government by the government.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm just saying, all of these things are real simplistic. It's just people need to decide collectively what and what they don't want. It don't matter who it, you know, anybody could sell a pair of shoes. You wear a size 9 and I got a size 5. If I'm trying to sell them shoes, I'm going to lie to you to get you to buy these shoes, even though you can never wear them without, you know, starting to say choice words if you could ever get it on your foot. But, you know.
I can look at it and say,
it's not complicated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
That's all I want. Right.
No, that's good. No, you're fine. You are fine. No, it's good to have wisdom, you know, brought upon us because Pastor Beecham, he's quiet, and he's like, So what are your thoughts, Pastor Beecham, of what
I'm kind of driving right now.
Okay.
I'm driving right now, but I'm listening, you know. I'm listening.
Mm-hmm,
so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And
but
even if
I'm wrong,
because,
doesn't it make a lot of sense?
Mm-hmm.
Don't it make a lot of common sense? Because it's common sense. Just like the average person, he might not
mm-hmm.
have common sense, but these things are simplistic by nature. You know, just like you pull the grass up anywhere in your yard, And if you put a seed there and the nourishment is there, that seed will germinate and something will break through the ground, correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Rev?
Yes, that is correct, because everything is already in the seed and it's designed to grow. That's what God designed it to do. So it's going to do what God designed it to do.
You
yes, sir.
You just have to water it. That's it. And sometimes we don't even have to water. We can just put it in the ground, and the moisture from the ground will make it grow. You know,
exactly.
Depending on if the ground, if there's moisture in the area. That is so true. That is so true. Wow. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you. Interesting. Very
thank
interesting.
Us.
The things
That's
that you
your...
you come. Thank us. Yes, thank us. The things that you bring forward, you know. You don't come on often, but when you do, you be laying on them jewels and those nuggets and those gems and everything else. And you just make people think, you know. You just make people think. So as we were going through the evening, is talking about love and emotions, and Pastor Beecham had talked about emotions, and you as a man, Eddie, you know how men aren't supposed to be sensitive, but I heard this gentleman the other day, and he put some words out there, you know. If a man doesn't have a sensitive side, when he comes home and faces his wife or his spouse and he's all hard, how will he know how to be sensitive to her if he's not sensitive himself?
Okay.
Think about that. I thought that was deep. I heard that the other day. It's like, okay, that's why I'm having this topic this evening, love and emotions, because men should be able to be sensitive, to have emotions, to have feelings and let them out and not be judged for his feelings. In my eyes, I mean, you know, in my eyes, I mean, a man can't be hard all the time, because it's like, you know, if a man is hard all the time, you know, how will we know if he will know how to be soft, you know, when we have children? Are they going to be hard on the children 24/7? You know, is he going to know how to be gentle? Is he going to know how to love, you know, softly and tenderly? Or is he going to give them that hard love? Boy, buck up. Man, if somebody see you crying, they're going to call you a sissy. No, boo-boo. That's not true. No. You got to have some, in my eyes, you got to have some feeling, you know, because in that way, then we know that there's a real man out there and inside of you, in my eyes. How do you all feel?
He's supposed to have feelings. He's supposed to have emotion. That's the way God designed us. You can't let your past hurts get in the way of your emotions and your feelings. You know, you let that get in the way, then you'll forever be hard. You know, it just depends on, you know, what some of the things that you've been through. And you know, we all go through things, but, you know, you can't let your hurts get in the way of the way you feel and the way that you continue to conduct yourself even in the future. What are you trying to say? you know, it's just the way God designed us as human beings. You know, we're supposed to have feelings. We're supposed to have emotions. You know.
Supposed.
I hurt.
Some people from down the, you know, from, I said you're supposed to, but some fathers and some men have instilled into their sons, you know, not to have any emotions, not to have any feelings. And then when they show a little bit of feelings, you get punched out.
Hmm. Oh, no. It should not be.
Knocked out. We know that.
No.
And that's why we need to have men, strong men, who are sensitive, to be able to teach the young men, it's okay to show your feelings, you know. It's okay to cry. Hey, you got to let it out, because if you keep it in, you're going to have heart attacks, you're going to have ulcers, you're going to have strokes, you're going to have, you're going to want to commit suicide, you're going to want to do all these things, and it's not good. You won't know, you're going to go drinking, gambling, hurting somebody else, when all you had to do was just shed a tear. That's all you had to do, or two or three. You know, let it out. You know, if you have to go into a closet, let it out and then come back out. But, hey, you know, because if you keep it pent up, it's not good. It's not good at all. My husband had a heart attack, and I just don't know why. He was healthy and everything, and, you know, next thing I know, he's having a heart attack and having heart palpitations. Well, he probably has a lot of, he's got a job, he's got a family, he's got a woman who might, you know, might not know how to show love, you know what I'm saying? And how do I want to say this? I don't want to say it. That's just how he is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when you keep it in, your stomach's going to start hurting. Your heart's going to hurt. Everything else, your head is going to hurt. And then you take it out on your family. And then, you know, oh, baby, I didn't mean to hit you. I didn't mean to do this. Well,
wow.
You know what I'm saying? That's what happens.
Exactly.
That's what happens, you know. And that's kind of why I have these shows, because a lot of men, you know, I used to have a lot of men call in, you know, they'll be calling in sometimes, but they're busy, whatever. But so that they can, you know, talk about things. And I had, like, I think about 3 months, I had basically kind of geared toward men so that they know that, quote-unquote, they are loved and that they need to have a voice as well, because usually everything is geared towards women. Women this, women that. It's like,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not my show. My shows are different. Mm-hmm. Correct, Eddie?
Nothing wrong.
Yes, indeed. That's the beauty of who you are, Doc. You know, you holding up this beacon of light, you know, in this mental illness world, that
mm-hmm.
where people
mm-hmm.
have a plot, really.
Let it out. Get
yeah,
it off the
speak
chest.
Their truth, speak their feelings. Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. But what I'd like to add to it is, just like what you're saying, there's books that really speak
mm-hmm.
on. There's a lady named Louise Hay, and I believe the name of the book is You Can Heal Yourself. Now, she got a lot of information.
Hold on a second. What did you say? You could heal yourself or feel yourself? What did
you
say?
No, heal, H-E-A-L, just like what, you know, what you do on the spot.
Okay, thank you.
Heal. Yes.
Heal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a book that's bigger than some of those Bibles, that's older than the King James, you know,
uh-huh.
7-8 inches. But anyway, my point is, in that book, it tells you any physical issue that you have in your body,
uh-huh.
from a little pain in your pinky toe to a throbbing
uh-huh.
headache at the very, very top of your head,
mm-hmm.
there is an emotion that's tied
attached
to that.
To it. Mm-hmm.
So going
mm-hmm.
back to exactly what you have spoke to, that is exactly right. And again, when people choose to hold up these memories as a mechanism of protection or a weapon of abuse, regardless of drugs and alcohol, because that's just a masking over, not having coping mechanisms or not willing to surrender and heal from that experience, forgiveness, it will manifest to a physical acre of pain or shutting down an organ in the body. It really is that simple. And then it goes back to the programming again. Roman order. Men are supposed to be warriors. You know, there was a time when if their wife didn't have a son, they would look down on her. You know, because women don't fight. Women have babies and women are nurses in that society. Men fought and ruled the land. It's, you know, that's why I just emphasize on mental illness. I wanted to speak to something else, but a lot of these things are still in that same book, the Bible. But people need to read that book. You know, you could classify and call yourself whatever you want, but again, that book is old. King James is 1611, fine, but there's older Bibles and most of the information is the same. Ethiopian Bible have the books that was omitted by King James. You know, a good scroll is a perfect thing, going back to even Kemet, Egypt. The confessions of Ma'at, the laws of Ma'at. Her arms are extended, and he emphasizes on the scales of justice, you know. When somebody passes on, you carry your heart down the hall. At the end of the hall, there's a scale. If you walk through life with a burden-free, untroubled, healed heart, your heart should be as light as a feather. You know, it's just so many things. Even with going to the masculine and feminine principle, look at how this body is made. You have a right leg, a left leg. You have a right arm, a left arm. You got a right eye, a left eye. In Hindustan, in India, they govern themselves by their first foot, by which nostril is breathing clearer. Because if you walk on the side of air flowing freely in and out of the body, then that is the side of blessing, the side of clear thinking, the side of perfect alignment with your Trinity, you know, your spirit, your soul, and your body, you know. Men should definitely be able to express themselves with a loving hand of understanding. And even, you know, with spirituality, if somebody can't tap into their so-called, which a lot of men are going to get mad, but I don't care, I'm here. I ain't giving out my phone number, but I'm here. We got this conversation. It ain't about laying down with men, but you do have to tap into the feminine side of being in order to tap into the spiritual side of yourself, you know, because there's so many aggressive emotions when it comes to the masculine side on quite a few realities in reference to the difference between the masculine principle and the feminine principle. But it's really the feminine principle that you tap into the spiritual side of you, because that loving, nurturing side, the childish side, playing and welcoming and loving everybody for no reason but for it to be the right thing to do, the happiness and the joy that's in the eyes of a child. Only with childlike qualities can you enter in the gates, right? Can't be all the emotions and all the traumas that we go through from, you know, birth to maturity. You know, you're no longer a minor. You're no longer a minority. Now you're an adult.
Okay.
See?
Mm-hmm.
It's not complicated. Sometimes it's good to sit back and meditate and pray and fast and just, you know, just look at society, lean against the walls of the temple, and just watch the people as they flow and go with no judgment, because it is a free will planet.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. It is a free will planet. People don't live in the free will.
But check out
will.
That book by Louise Hay. You know,
and
she tells you.
Said Louise.
Louise Hay. She started a book company after she healed herself. I think she had cancer. She had some kind of serious dis-ease in her body, and the doctors couldn't help her. So Spirit spoke to her, and she decided to be still, and then she started, you know, doing research and changed her diet and all of these things. And next thing you know, she's alive, and she's still alive and thriving. I think she's like 80-something years old, and she's still in the physical. Louise Hay. Hay House, if you look at Hay House books, she wrote a lot of books, but overall, that book, You Can Heal Yourself.
And what's the name of the book again, please?
You Can Heal Yourself. You Can Heal Yourself.
You can heal yourself. And her last name is Hay.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. For those of you who are out there listening, it's Louise Hay, Hay. You Can Heal Yourself. And who sings the song, Speak Over Yourself? And that's what you got to do sometimes. You just got to speak over yourself. And you are the only one who may know your illnesses, and besides God, of course, but in earthly. And a lot of times you have to encourage yourself and speak over yourself to rid these evil spirits and stuff, because a lot of times other people don't know what's going on with you. And so, therefore, you need to take the time to, as you say, fast, pray, heal yourself, and do everything else. Otherwise, you know, you're just going to, you know, pass away, in essence, you know. And you can pass away in different ways. You can pass away over this on this earth, or you could just, you know, not know that other people may not know that you have these illnesses, and you can, you know, just be living and just be, I should say, like, yeah, just living or just being here, and people just kind of walk past you. But if you pray over yourself, and people will see a light come and shine through you. So that's what people say about me, and I'm just, oh, so okay. My mom used to say that all the time about me. There's always this light that's shining around about you. So, okay. Let it keep shining. But we have to encourage others as well, but before we can encourage others, we have to encourage ourselves so that we can get the full essence of God and the full essence of, you know, things in us and around us. Because sometimes, you know, we will put, what do you call, I won't say evil spirits or bad spirits, I guess you could say bad spirits, on other people. And, you know, someone will say, oh, I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to say, I'm going to pray for you. Whatever you pray for me, I'm going to pray for you. You know, because you'll never know what somebody may pray for you for. And it's like, okay, you know, that type of thing. But we do. We just have to, you know, love each other, love ourselves, and just be mindful of our surroundings and our whereabouts, because, hey, a lot of times we do. We need to heal ourselves. Heal ourselves. And this book, Louise Hay, Hay, You Can Heal Yourself. Amen. So as we are going through this evening on love and emotion, we need to know what love is. Love is soulful, is a spiritual, not a physical experience. Love equals transcendence, the dominance of spirit over matter, sublime over the corporeal. And y'all can always just chime in, jump in if you want to say something. So that's okay. You can just let me know if you want to say anything. Love is the language of the soul. Love is a way of experiencing a higher power. True love is unconditional and selfless. It all allows you to rise above your selfish desires, levels beyond treating others with compassion or warmth. Love is how you experience the essence of another person and how you let that person experience the real you. You got to let your guard down and let them experience the real you. It is more than not doing unto others what you would do unto yourself, and it is the root of civility and morality. Love is, it is the purest way to feed another's soul as well as your own. Love is one soul greeting another, the fusion of two souls, finding your soulmate, the fusion of two souls. Love is about giving, not taking. Anybody want to comment on what I just read on what love is?
That's very good. I was just thinking about the definition that's in the Bible, you know. From 1 Corinthians, which we call 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter.
Yes. As we were talking about earlier, when you do wedding vows and things, love is patient, love is kind, love is all these things. And basically what I just said, that's what love is. And I remember a long time ago, we used to have the love is in the newspaper, the little naked man and woman in the newspaper. Love is. It's basically being naked. It's the naked truth about yourself. That's what real love is. It's the naked truth about yourself. That's how I view these two characters. And I think I still have a couple of those love is pictures and things. And I used to, when I was young, I used to cut them all out and just keep everything. I think I was I know I was a hoarder. But really, love is 2 Corinthians 13, for sure, for sure. And what love is not. Love is not a material need. Love is not just the fulfillment of one's needs to be cared for. It is also not just the fulfillment of one's desire for intimacy. Love is not one of our bodily needs like food or water. It's also not just something we need to feel good about ourselves. It is not just something we need to feel good about ourselves. Love is not about control, as we were speaking earlier, but about yielding and humility. Love is not conditional. It doesn't end when one's needs cease to be met. Love is continual. It is not the obliteration, there you go, or subjection of one individual. There is no dominant person consuming another one in true love, meaning you don't rule over me and I don't rule over you. Love is not something you can compartmentalize or dole out in small pieces. It's not something that can be separated from the soul, from the essence of a person. You can't just take my love and just suck it out of me. You can't do that. True unconditional love is not temporary. That is what love is and what love is not. Any comments from my people? Let me check my text because people like to text me. Okay.
Yeah,
they
how wise
like
is
to text
perfect?
Me.
What's his name, Doc?
Say it again.
The individual that used to be in the chat, wise as a serpent.
Be wise as a serpent. He hasn't been with me in a while. I guess I haven't had anything that's interesting to for him to call. But I send him the information. I send him an email, so it's not that he doesn't know about him. So, the four types of compatibility in relationships, finding your soulmate. What is a soulmate? A soulmate is a person who completes you. I think I said it earlier, True love is the process of two halves of one soul reuniting again for all eternity. This is why everyone is looking for it, a soulmate and for love. Because, hey, you have a soulmate, you got love. You have love, you got a soulmate. So a key element in every relationship is compatibility between two parties, beginning from the dating process and then following in marriage. Issues of compatibility can make or break relationships. The word compatible gets thrown around a lot in discussions about whether relationships should continue or end. We're not compatible. Irreconcilable differences. We're not made for each other. We just don't get along. But how do we define compatibility? How many types of compatibility are there? Are all types of necessary to sustain a relationship? There are four primary types of compatibility, and all of them are necessary for healthy love. Let me tell you it again, for healthy love. However, the first three are subject to change, while the fourth type of compatibility is the one that truly cements relationships or the long haul. It is the eternal element that keeps couples together when their looks and interests change. Yes, it keeps people together. Because, I mean, I'm not going to look the same as when I got married to now. My two husbands don't look the same. Husbands, yes, I said that. Two husbands don't look the same as when I first married them. We're all going to be changed. And there's a song by Music.
Soul Child.
Thank you. Yes, Music Soul Child. I just couldn't think. Music Soul Child. You know, talk about when they get old. And I love that song because I'm going to still love you. You know, when your hair turns gray, I'm going to love you, you know. But some people just can't be loved. Anyway, the first is physical compatibility. Though it may sound superficial, physical compatibility, physical attraction to one another, is necessary for a relationship to take hold and be maintained. And men are basically, aesthetic people. They like what's pleasing to their eye. And so when you see a woman that's pleasing to your eye, I feel like the cartoons where your eyes go out in hearts and your whole body just kind of raises up like, you know how they do in the cartoons? Go, wow, wow, wow. That's physical love. You may need to be attracted to your partner and certainly not be repulsed. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You hear that a lot. And physical compatibility is clearly based on a subjective set of preferences. Nevertheless, it is an important component in a relationship. Okay, Pastor Beecham, you and yours have been together for 39 years. 39.
What
you all together? Was it the physical? Was it the mental? You know, you don't have to go into detail, but, I mean, what caught your eye when you all met? He's laughing now.
It was her physical. It was her physical. Uh-huh. It was her smile, just the way she carried herself, you know. She didn't act like she was loose, you know. Her appearance, she was not just beautiful in body shape, but the way she carried herself, the way she dressed. I watched her for weeks before I even approached her, you know, and then after I began to talk to her, you know, she was so soft and and just
even more beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yes, her you know, her countenance. Aura.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, her countenance. I said aura. Yeah, her countenance, her
mm-hmm.
aura. Her
mm-hmm.
as I began to talk to her, I found out that she was just a sweet, just sweet in heart, you know, and so I began to think, is she just like this with me, or is she like this with everybody? So I come to find
mm-hmm.
out she's
mm-hmm.
really like that with everybody, but. She had a special love for me.
So I
had something, I guess, that other guys that did not have that attracted me to her.
Okay.
So we found out that we became compatible to
mm-hmm.
one another.
There you go. There you go.
And
mm-hmm.
and you know, after I met her, I
mm-hmm.
wasn't looking for no other. I wasn't looking for no other woman, because she was everything. She was everything that I needed. She
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
she fulfilled me. You know,
mm-hmm.
she fulfilled me.
What is that? That saying, you complete me.
Exactly.
You had me at hello. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So it was no use me. What am I looking for another woman for, you know, when she
right.
have
she had
everything. That I need.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to look. I didn't have to look for another woman. So we
mm-hmm.
begin.
Mm-hmm.
We begin to complete one another, love one another, forsaken,
mm-hmm.
like the vow said, forsaken others, you know, for
mm-hmm.
one another.
All of it. Mm-hmm.
All of that. All of that. So.
I love how he laughs. He's laughing like a little bad boy.
Yeah, so.
Like,
so.
Because I can tell you are still in love with her. She just completely,
oh, yeah.
I mean, you just, you know, you just, that's the kind of love that, you know, you don't hear about as often anymore. You know, people just stay together just to stay together. It's like, oh, heck no. I wasn't going to be living in misery, you know. No.
So any problems that we had,
mm-hmm.
we were
mm-hmm.
able to talk and communicate with each other to work it out. You know?
Yeah.
So
right.
I learned the things that she liked and the things that
okay.
she don't like. And if she don't
mm-hmm.
like it,
mm-hmm.
then I didn't do it to, you
right.
know, to upset her, you know? And
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
and likewise, and she with me the same way. So,
right.
so
mm-hmm.
if I have everything that I need in her, what
mm-hmm.
am I looking for in somebody else?
Right.
Why
right. that part.
Should I contaminate what I have?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
To go
mm-hmm.
outside of my marriage when I can get all that I need from her. I'm not saying
mm-hmm.
every day was ice cream and cake, but I've had way
right.
more good days than I've had
mm-hmm.
bad days.
Mm-hmm. And I won't complain.
Because I can't complain. I won't complain.
Amen.
I won't
all
complain
right.
yet. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
through sickness and health, and we've both been through sicknesses and
mm-hmm.
and health,
mm-hmm.
you know, we mm-hmm. have been through it and we love, rather than drawing apart, we draw closer.
Uh-huh.
But
nice.
None of this
mm-hmm.
would have been possible had it not been for the Lord. And I got to throw
mm-hmm.
that in there.
Mm-hmm.
I got to
right,
throw that
right,
in there.
Right, right.
You know, so if I complete her and she's complete,
mm-hmm.
completes me, why would she
mm-hmm.
go outside of the marriage
right.
and look for something that you know, that she don't have? When if she don't have it with me, then why not let us
mm-hmm.
sit down and talk about it, and then I can try to adjust to what she need if she don't have it. And I, same way with her, you know, I don't have to go outside of my marriage when all
mm-hmm.
I have to do is talk to my wife.
Right, right. That's all you,
see,
that's
because,
all you need is her, the two of you.
I mean, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't try to dominate her. You know, in fact,
mm-hmm.
I found out some things the hard way. By not listening to her. By not listening to her. You know, the Bible said, whoso findeth a wife, findeth
mm-hmm.
a good
thing.
And
mm-hmm.
see, that's where we cut it off at. But that's not the ending of the scripture. It said,
right.
and
mm-hmm.
obtaineth favor of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out
mm-hmm.
that my wife is my favor. And,
okay.
And I found
okay.
out some stuff. She can go some places that I cannot go.
Mm-hmm.
And where I can't go, she goes. And where she goes, she comes back to me and tells
mm-hmm.
me and helps me in those areas
mm-hmm.
where I cannot go and some things that I cannot do by her being a woman. You know,
right.
I don't put her
right.
down. I don't belittle her. You know,
mm-hmm.
whatever I do to her, I'm doing to myself.
Right.
Because we're not two
okay.
people. We're one.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And vice versa. And vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Because life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Yeah.
You have not.
Yes.
So if you don't have it, it's because you're not saying it. And if you're not
okay.
saying it, and if you still don't have it, it may be because you don't
mm-hmm.
need it. Or you're not
okay.
ready. For what God has for you at that particular time, because see, you also got to
mm-hmm.
check your motives as well, you know. So
mm-hmm.
I try to walk in to be loving. You know, and it just when marriage is done right, it is such a
mm-hmm.
beautiful thing. And so many
yes,
people
yes.
has been hurt by being with
mm-hmm.
the wrong one until they all
exactly.
they think that it can be no such thing as a perfect marriage, but that's not mm-hmm. it's not perfect, but
right.
it's complete. It's
right,
matureness,
right.
And you know, you mature. But I learned some stuff early in my marriage what I should and should not do. But my wife has
mm-hmm.
been a tremendous blessing to me.
Mm.
A tremendous blessing to me. And I've had
mm-hmm.
to learn I've had to learn some stuff the hard way by not listening
right.
to her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of meetings. A lot of men hate to hear those four words. I told you so. I told you so, from their wives. But it's simply because they did not listen to her.
Mm-hmm.
Because they
mm-hmm.
thought they were supposed to exercise authority and dominance over her, but
mm-hmm.
that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. You know, mm-hmm. you wow, you got the love. You got to communicate. She's
mm-hmm.
the help me.
She's your help me. So therefore, you know, sometimes you know we listen to each other. Sometimes it's like, you know, some men are so headstrong. You know, I'm the head of the house. You know, yes, you are the head of the house,
yeah.
But it's good to listen to other people in the household because, quote unquote, you don't know everything. And if God didn't give you this woman to be in your company, then why is she there in your company?
Exactly. She's there for a reason. And if
mm-hmm.
you can work
mm-hmm.
together, if you can learn to work together, oh, my God. There's no place
it's
that
heaven.
You can't go. You can't go. There's no place that you can't go. It's heaven.
Mm-mm.
It's heaven on earth.
Right.
Yes. And it's not all physical.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
mm-hmm.
it's not all physical. You know.
No.
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 Mm-mm. It's not.
It's
not all sexual all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my parents were married 50 some years, and before they both passed away. And it's like that's the kind of love and marriage you know you want to have is you know those longevities. But these days, you know, either they're not getting married or they get married and get divorced and get married and get divorced and get married because they're looking for something. They're
exactly.
For something, but they don't know. They won't stand still long enough for it to come to them. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Yeah. You got to wait. Some things you just got to wait. You got to wait on
mm-hmm.
the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And if you never get married, that's okay too. I mean, you know,
exactly.
You're not supposed to be alone on earth, but you know. If you don't act right, God's not going to give you a good thing for you to destroy. You know, you
exactly.
got to act right. Mm-hmm. You got to act right. And you got to
exactly.
have an emotional compatibility. You can be attracted to someone physically, but if emotionally there is no connection, the relationship cannot endure. This happens very often. People look beautiful on paper or in real life, but when you meet and talk
mm-hmm.
to them, you don't feel anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's no click. There's no connection. Nothing.
No.
Every healthy
exactly.
relationship needs a feeling of trust and commonality as well as emotional nurturing.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Exactly.
You need, a lot of times we need to listen to each other. You know, if we would just listen. And somebody else said that, too, about the book that I had that I was taking part of. He's read half of it, he said. He said, you know what, if men would just listen to what women say, it would be so
yeah.
much easier. It would be, and not that we know everything, but sometimes we know something, and God will give us that information to distribute it to our helpmeet, to our mate. But if you don't listen, you know, then you say, then what were those four words? I told you so. Or God told me to tell you so. That's what it should be. God told me to tell you so. That's what we really should say. God told me to tell you so, but you wasn't listening. You didn't want to hear
exactly.
what
you
said.
Exactly. And there was some times that I did not listen, and, you know, I learned the hard way. And there was sometimes I did not listen. I may have lost money. There was time that I did not listen, and God whooped my butt. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's no whooping. There ain't no whooping like a God. There ain't no whooping like a God whooping. Because God
Amen.
Will put something on you
Amen.
that can't cure. God,
mm-hmm.
God will put
Amen.
Something on you. You know, so.
Yes, he will.
I give the Lord the credit for everything. It's not me. It's not her. It's all God. We've had a fear of the Lord in our marriage, and God has
mm-hmm.
really blessed our marriage. And now that we're up and, you know, we're going toward our senior years now, you know, we're empty nesters. Our children is grown
mm-hmm.
out of the house, you know, well, our child, because
mm-hmm.
we only had one. But you know, and you know, it's just beautiful. We get to spend even more time with each other, you know. And okay. I just thank the Lord for it. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because you know, it's wonderful. And we have been together. We hadn't been in and out of marriage. I leave you for a few years and come back. No. We've been together the whole time, and I am so thankful to God for her, and putting her into my life. But I might not tell her that enough, but I hope she understands that I love her, and I appreciate her, and thank God for her and everything that she do.
I think she knows that, because y'all wouldn't be together this long, you know, if the love didn't have a good solid foundation.
And I'll tell you something else, because you know, I'll say this, you know, by me being as old as she is, because a lot of men don't care for their in-laws, and they got to be careful. You really got to be careful of that. Because if your wife's parents was parents enough to raise her, then they can be parents enough to raise you. You know, you don't ever get older than your parents. And you got to, I don't understand, you know, but now both of our parents are gone. My parents are gone, and her parents just left. Is gone. So now, you know, we really cleave to each other. Now we really try to teach, you know, our child, our grandchildren, you know, and their relationship. And if they need a model, use us as your model, you know.
Right.
You know, we're your model. There's nothing that we can't talk about. There's nothing, you know, that we try to hide from you. There's nothing that's not uncovered that we can't talk about, you know. So we try to let them know that, and give them, you know, information that's going to be a blessing to them and help them as they grow.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I loved her parents as if they were my own parents, because my parents actually died first. My parents died first. Okay. So after my parents passed, I really started to cleave to her parents, you know, to be my parents, because my parents was gone. So, you know, and they loved us, they respected us, they only one time I can remember her mom tried to, you know, come into our marriage, but you know, we nipped it in the bud. So, you know, you can't say that, you can't do that, and I'm, you know, no, we love each other now, you know. It's like this. You know, we in love. We love God. We're God-fearing. You know, we thank you for your advice, but, you know, we're going to do it God's way. We're going to do it the way God told us to do it. So they respected that, and it never happened again. So we were very much loved. We were very much loved by them. Yeah, she loved my parents. My parents loved her. I loved her parents, and they loved me. It was very, very powerful.
See, and that's when you leave and cleave, and you know that you got something, you know, to look forward to. And one thing that I remember, one minister said, you know that ring that you place on your finger? It's a circle. And the people who was getting married said, "Yes, sir." And he was saying, "Don't let nobody come in your circle that don't need to be in your circle." Like that. And I wish I would have, you know, learned that maybe earlier in life or whatever. But because people, you know, you have all these outside forces that come in and try to, you know, get in your way or you know, change you or detain you or restrain you or contain you, whatever, anyway, or stain you, I guess you could say. And as long as you keep them on the outside of that ring, you know, you don't have nothing to worry about. If anything goes wrong,
well,
it's between your household and not everybody else and your household.
Exactly. But then I got another problem. See, because not only am I married to my wife, the pastor is married to the church.
And you got all kind of bridesmaids up in there.
You got to have a strong woman. You got to have a special wife. A pastor has got to have a special wife because he's got to deal with the sheep. You know, he got to deal with the sheep, but I didn't say he
had
the
wolves.
And the wolves. And the wolves, because there's all kind of things in the sheepfold. There's all kind of animals in the sheepfold. So you know, you got a special wife, you know. You got to have a special wife. Because, you know, some of your sheep will actually try to come after the pastor.
They be trying to, you know, be deceitful and, you know, be cunning and everything else. There's some cheeky people out there. That's all I got to say.
There's some sick people out there, too. And they will try to do anything. But you got to keep your focus. Mm-hmm. You got to keep your focus on God. You got to keep your focus on God.
Right.
The shepherd ain't supposed to be sleeping with the sheep. I'll tell anybody the shepherd don't sleep with the sheep.
He has his own place.
Exactly.
He has his own place.
He has his own place. That's a no-no in the eyesight of God.
Amen. Amen. There's this one gentleman who's supposed to be coming on. He's doing something right now. But the question is he has is, can you find true love in 3 dates?
Huh?
Can you find true love in 3 dates?
Oh, they done dated 3 times is what they saying. They done. I found true love in my wife
before we had
1 date. Huh?
Say it again.
I found true love in my wife before we had 1 date.
And see, you were open. You were open, and it can be done. You know, but this gentleman, Eddie, are you still with me? We're talking about Joe. And Joe's a special person. Love him to death. And he wanted to know if he could find love in 3 dates. But he's an atheist, see? So, yes, he's an atheist. And so I don't know. I mean, you can. It has to be pure love, and it has to be, you know, it can be pure love, and it can be true love. But it'd be hard, that's for sure.
You can, but you have to know the other person. I mean, you have to really communicate.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really communicate.
But then again, in your circumstance, God gave you that woman. In essence, you know,
exactly.
Because of the type of person you were, and you may have prayed for her, I don't know. But
no, because, you know, I wasn't saved when we first got married, we was not saved. But it was not long after we got saved that we gave our life to the Lord.
Right.
And we were young.
I believe you said that when you spoke. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
We were young. You followed.
Exactly.
Young or young?
Exactly. I was 20. She was 19.
Okay.
Is that young? And we met. We met. When I met, we were when I met her, I was 19. She was 18.
Okay.
When we met. So,
okay.
Within a year, we was married. Yes, within a year.
Okay.
We was married.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we gave our life to the Lord. She did first. She
Amen.
Did first.
Uh-huh.
And I followed. Uh-huh. And I followed. You know, but and that's the way it has been ever since. Yeah, 39 years ago.
Mm-hmm. It was February, you said. It was the week before Valentine's Day, the 7th of February.
The 8th of February.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't wait. I couldn't
close.
Wait for Valentine's Day. I tried.
Amen. Bless your heart.
But she was,
Eddie,
when I,
you
she
say
was
something?
The one.
Yeah, I just asked them what jurisdiction they live in, you know, like what state they live in, meaning when they
we
met.
We live in our, when we met, we was in Columbus, Georgia. We was in the military. That's Fort
okay.
Benning at the time, but they done changed the
mm-hmm.
name of Fort Benning.
Mm. Okay.
At the time, we was in the military. We was in Columbus, Georgia. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
All places in the military, that's deep.
Yeah, you have to be strong again in the military because, like you say, those people will get those people will come after
hey,
you get
it them. Might be another thing that gave them that confirmation. We going to have to get together because we got to survive this.
Well, my
you watch
first
my left,
husband,
I'll watch
he was in
your
the service
right.
when I met him. Yep. My first husband was in the service when we met him. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
when
praise,
I met him.
Praise the Lord.
So,
mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Yep. That was the first one. The second one, he was the campus cop at Clark Atlanta University. So,
okay.
Mm-hmm. The has-beens, as you say, as I say. But you also
you
have
can look
to have
at
an intellectual compatibility. Say it again, Eddie.
I'm just saying, you can look at those situations and see that one was an aggressive environment by himself because, you know,
mm-hmm.
you were his mm-hmm. mate, but you weren't in the military. So you don't exactly know what
right.
he was dealing with. And his few feelings about what he was dealing with. But, you know, if somebody's a cop on campus, I mean, you know, that's children getting free from, you know, the guidance of their parents or so all kinds of foolishness. You know, and adventurism takes place on a college campus.
Uh-huh.
They got Freaknik and all of that foolishness that go on. Even the Amish have some kind of ritual that's something like that when the children get between the ages, I think, 19 or 18 and 20-something. They basically go out into the world or, you know, out on the outskirts of, you know, their compound and experience life.
Uh-huh.
To the desires of their, you know, wills or whatever the case may be.
Right.
Same thing. You know, these dynamics are interesting, but, you know, I just wanted to add this one thing to it. We tend to classify ourselves as minority because it's cold. But you look at the first few letters of that word, it's minor, which is a child.
So we
sometimes don't allow ourselves to be an adult and stop calling ourselves that because in reality we are not minorities. You know, you go to court, first thing they say to somebody that's, you know, melanated, you know, do you want counsel?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want representation? Only a child needs that. A man governs all events. An adult, you know, the Hasidic Ashkenazi people, Jewish people, they have that bar bar mitzvah because they pass
uh-huh.
their children over into adulthood and give them their estate. our rituals aren't there. We have a cotillion of things like that, but everybody doesn't self-employed to that. You know, and at that, they basically bring their children out, but they're really initiating them, you know, preparing them to be, you know, maturing adults.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's a lot of things to consider. But I also wanted to salute you, Rev, on allowing yourself to be open and receptive and humble and guiding yourself according, or should I say, demonstrating yourself on both principles, the masculine and feminine principles. Like you were saying, you had to, in a sense, surrender. That's not the word you use, but, you know, there's a song by Carlos Santana. It says, love, devotion, and surrender, you know. Sometimes you have to do these things, even if, okay, I'll try it your way and see how it, you know, works out for us.
Yeah.
For me.
It's more like being submissive, is, you know, to an extent. Yeah.
Yeah. But, again, that's wisdom. It, you know, there's not too many men that's going to say, you know, there's not too many men that's going to say that. You're submissive.
Exactly.
What?
Yeah.
But
that's
what it is,
you know,
right? Yes, sir.
I mean, that's it's either that or, you know, keep getting those whoopings by God, you know. You know, because you want to be healthy, you know. What good is having money if you're not healthy enough to spend it?
Right.
What profit in a man? You know,
Who's in the background making all that noise?
Rev building a house over there. Rev building another kitchen on the house.
Oh man, no, the house been built. I don't know who that is. That was meant towards me. That wasn't meant towards anybody else, fellas. So don't take the bait. Okay.
No.
That was her, Joe.
No. You weren't on the line yet, and there was noise going on, so it wasn't you.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, how you doing?
Joe,
how you guys doing?
With his hammer. Joe, don't use
the
hammer so quickly, bro. Put the hammer back in the holster, please.
You know, yeah, it must be, because every time I move around, it seems like I'm raising some tsunami or some thunder or cyclones with this microphone here. every time I move to the left or to the right.
So did you go back and listen and you heard it?
No, but I will.
Okay.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Has anybody come up with a consensus about how to find love within 3 days or less?
Yes. We just got 3 days.
Oh, really?
Or dates. Yes,
no, 3 days.
Pastor Beecham is on the line. He's been married for 39 years. And go ahead and tell your story again, Pastor Beecham.
You can find love in 3 days or less. You actually can. You can find love at first sight, but. You know, you're only going to know if you're compatible and you know, if when you start talking to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's
because,
true. The thing is yeah,
you know,
you're right
you
about it. Yeah, you're right. A lot of people fall in love at first sight, but that's because it's always based on hopes and dreams. The thing is that I was wondering, is there a possible practical way for a person to actually know if the person they're talking to isn't stimulating them simply because of sexual attraction, hopes and dreams, Disneyland, stuff like that. And if there's, how animals give off pheromones and how they attract the others, right? So I was wondering, is it possible that humans can do that? And if people know how to pick up on it like radar, right, to find out about it that way instead of going through 100 people, 3 dates per 100 people to find out that, hey, I finally found somebody.
you know. So you're right. I mean, people can do it in, you know, in 5 seconds.
You really can.
Well, I'd like to speak to something in reference
you really
to,
can.
In reference to having those different relationships. You know, this is even scientific. Every single person that you share your bodily fluids with, be it a kiss, be it a tear, be it, you know, below your waist, there is definitely an exchange of more than that vibration. So you're bringing into your being every person that person's been with.
Yeah.
So that's something to consider also. Their happiness, their pain, the happiness and the pains of the individuals that individual has been with.
Exactly.
And
that's
to
true.
Be patient. To be patient and meditating and praying, you know, with or without the prayer, you know, but overall meditation. Because, you know, there's on so many temples that are from, you know, time immemorial, it says, know thyself. Why am I acting this way? You know what I'm saying? All of these things. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, again, when you meet somebody, you're basically sometimes you're meeting their representative. And it takes time, you know, before somebody really allows themselves to be naked. You know, I ain't talking about the physical activity that takes place when you're naked. I'm just saying before you could really
yeah.
see a person, they are. Because sometimes it's the things that they
exactly.
don't say in words that's more powerful than what they say with words.
Exactly.
That's another reason why we got so many corrupt politicians and, you know, supervisors and, you know, car salesmen and all these things.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I'll put it like this. Sex is for married people. And when you go to having sex, when you go to having sex outside of marriage, you know, you're taking on everything that person and they done been with before they've been with you. You're taking on their spirits,
mm-hmm.
their soul, and
mm-hmm.
and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really not supposed to be doing that. But when you do it, you know, that's when the unborn children come in, and I mean, not unborn children, the unwanted children. That's where all
mm-hmm.
of that come in at. That's why we're not supposed to take it lightly. But if you're just going to go around all willy-nilly, you know, you're subject to anything. But in the eyesight of the Lord, you are married consummate.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. When you consummate, you are married in the eyesight of the Lord. Man wants you to have papers. But, you know, there's a lot of laws God put down that we don't obey. And that's why we're in the trouble that we're in by not obeying God's laws. God said, mankind shall not sleep with a man like he do a woman. Well, man done went and done made it a law in the eyesight of man, but in the eyesight of God, it's not right. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we violate God's laws, that's why we have all the trouble. And just because man said that it's right, it's still wrong in the eyesight of God. So
mm-hmm.
that's why we have so much trouble and so much turmoil. And by violating God's laws, but that's another message. But yeah, you can. I say you can know that you got the right one and three dates or less, but you got to communicate.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
uh-huh.
you got to openly communicate before you communicate by having sexual activities. Because the sexual activity is going to throw everything off. That should be the last thing. You should try to get to know a person first before you do the sexual activity. And that's the only
Greg,
way you're going to know it.
No time. Rev, you ain't called no time until you said that. That the spirit of this world tried to hold that back.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, you know, unless you communicate, man, you ain't going to know. That's the only way. That is the only way. And if you have respect for her and she have respect for you, then hey, uh-huh. You know, you ain't gonna wanna do that. You ain't gonna wanna do that, and you would find yourself falling in love with the person, and uh-huh. and their whole self, their mind, their soul, which make up their mind, their emotions, uh-huh. their feelings, their soul.
Uh-huh.
And then you find yourself falling in love with their spirit, you know. And then the only thing left is the body.
right. Mm-hmm.
So, but you can, but, you know, you got to know what you want. You got to know yourself. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
you'll find out. Then after communicating with her, you'll find out the things she like and don't like, you know. So that's how you find out if you're compatible or if you're a soulmate.
And talking about,
yeah.
you know, the mind and such, there's an intellectual compatibility as when two people who respect each other's intelligence, they share
yes.
and are stimulated by each other's ideas and or shared intellectual interests. They value
yes.
each other's opinions and thoughts. They find each other's conversations interesting. So, you know, as you say,
yes.
when you start talking to somebody, you'd be talking all night, all day. You got to go to work. You can't wait till you get off of work to talk to that person again. You talk again throughout the night until you just keep on talking and talking
yeah.
and talking until you can't talk anymore.
Yeah.
And so then you know,
yeah.
you know, that person has captured
yeah.
your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, everything, you know, because it's like you just sit there and just have conversations. And we don't even have
yeah.
conversations
yeah.
anymore. We really don't.
Exactly.
We really don't.
Exactly.
We don't have conversations
exactly.
anymore. We
exactly.
talk at each other, not to each other or with each other. You know, we don't.
Yeah, and you don't play no games with each other. You don't play no games. No.
Right.
But that's true.
Mm-mm.
That is very much true. Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. People these days, it's sad, but that's just, you know, they want so much, but they don't want to take the time to, you know, evaluate the situation and, you know, look at things from both sides, as they say, look at love from both sides now, because it's like, I know what I want, I see what I want, and then when you get what you think you want, it's not what you want at all. It's a whole different dog. It's like, that person is not the same person I had met that night. The eyelashes don't come off. The eyes don't come out. The lips don't come off. The deer rear's gone. The front part is gone. The hair is
come
gone.
On.
It's like, oh, my. Who did I meet the other day? That is not the same person I met the other day. And it's the funniest thing.
Exactly. If you can't be natural, you know, with each other, you know, hey, who can, you know, hey, wow.
You'd be unnatural. Mm-hmm. And then you can't tell male from female when you have all that other stuff on. It's like, then you get mad at you know, Adam and Steve instead of Adam and Eve. And it's like,
yeah.
then you get with Adam and Steve, it's like you get mad at Steve because you thought Steve was a woman, but it's like, listen.
Thought Steve was Eve.
You didn't. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay. It's like,
have mercy.
It's as they call them, we call it beans and franks. It's like, okay. Whoa. You know, it's No, then as we talk about that, it says the external compatibility, the shared vision. You got to think about the shared vision. Not to diminish the importance of the first three types of compatibility, there's a fourth element of compatibility which infuses and lifts a relationship to another dimension. and actually turns it into an eternal relationship. It is called spiritual compatibility, which Reverend Pastor Beecham has been talking about. Two people who share a vision and a mission, a vision that transcends each of their needs and the day-to-day changes of everyday life. They ask themselves, what transcendent vision do we share and how we would like to contribute to the greater good? What mark in the world do we want to make? What kind of home do we want to build together? How do we want to raise our children? How do we want them to shape the world and they will grow up in? When people come into our environment, what kind of feeling do you want to give them? What legacy are you leaving? In contrast to the first three compatibility types, and those three were physical, emotional, and intellectual, which are all subject to change due to age, changes in our needs and interests and maturity. This fourth one lasts a lifetime and more. No matter what changes a person goes through in life, physical, emotional, or intellectual, a vision does not change. Your eyesight might change, but the vision that you all set forward does not change. Your vision and mission can take on different shapes and forms. Your fundamental personality, your essence, and your personal mission does not change. You discover new ways of manifesting your mission in life, but your essential calling and your key talents do not change. When two people find a partnership on that level, then their relationship is able to evolve throughout life. Tuna, that's so,
so true.
When y'all have the same goal and the same vision and the same, you know, path, you know, you don't deviate from the path. Oh, baby, I thought we was going to get this kind of house. No, baby, we're going to get, this is the house we have down here. Oh, I want this kind of car. No, baby, this is the one that we have. This is what our goal was. This is what we're living for. So when you start deviating, that's when trouble comes in. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That is true. That is true.
And if you do want to change, you talk about it. You just don't go, oh, I'm having a midlife crisis and I want a Ferrari. Okay. Was a Ferrari on our vision board? Was a Ferrari
in
the mission statement?
It is a two-seater. I'm just saying, it is a two-seater.
Yeah, but you got three more that need to get in there with you. What about the kids?
That part right there. That's an SUV.
So you're going to have to get that Ferrari, but you're also going to have to get something else to carry them kids in. Nothing wrong with having
that's
a Ferrari. Don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with that. You know,
no.
Nothing wrong with
uh-uh.
that, but you're going to have to get that Suburban or something to carry those kids in.
SUV, something you value. Well, you got to put the grocery somewhere, so they're going to either be on your lap or somewhere. That's too funny.
Somewhere.
SUV is something you value. That's what you need. That's what you get. No, I'm just kidding. But, no, because then the grandkids, they want to ride with you and said, no, you can't ride in my Ferrari.
Yeah.
You're going to mess it up. You're going to get chocolate and you're going to get peanut butter and you're going to get, you know, cookie crumbs or whatever. This is for your grandma and me, not for you.
Hey, you're gonna upset some grandkids. What's gonna happen?
They will be all right.
Awesome. They think more of their car than they think of me. Okay.
That's funny.
Children are wise, please. But listen, Miss Inez, it's been fun. But
well,
I'm going to have to run.
Thank you for joining us. Well, hopefully you run back sometime.
It's a pleasure. just send me an email or text or something, and if I can get on, I'm going to jump on if I ain't got nothing going on. If I don't have anything else happening.
Your wife is more than welcome to join us as well. So, you know, you don't have to leave her out of the loop.
She's been with me.
As well.
She's been with me.
She's been with me for the last 30 minutes, but she hadn't said anything. But she's here. She's
well,
listening.
Hello.
She knocked me. She's kind of falling asleep
Ms.
now because she hasn't been in the bed early.
Blessings, blessings,
oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. I came
doing,
in,
ma'am?
Y'all was cutting out. I am blessed. I will not complain. Hallelujah. To God be the Lord.
Thank you, thank you.
Brother,
thank you so much for joining.
Yes,
thank you for keeping him straight. Great. S-K-R-A-I-T. Great.
You said right.
You know, we work us together. We work us together in the kingdom now. We thank
right,
God
for the good
for
of them that love
together.
The Lord. Isn't that right?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
No,
yeah,
but
I
appreciate both of you.
Yes, ma'am.
I appreciate
God
both of
you.
Thank you so much.
Thank
and
you.
Have
amen.
A good thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you for
okay,
the invite.
Thank you.
Yeah, she's going to have to get up in the morning and go take care of them babies.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good night now. All right.
Good night.
Good night. God bless you, God.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Bless you. That's funny. Eddie? You still with me, Eddie? You in the background? Okay. So, how to know when you love someone. Baby, don't hurt me. This is by Kendra Terry, and this is from www.verywellmind.com. What is love? There are all types of different loves. It's friendship, compassionate, infatuation, compassionate and companionate, and unrequited. So when it comes to love, some people would say it is one of the most important human emotions. Love is a set of emotions and behaviors characterized by intimacy, passion, and commitment. It involves care, closeness, protectiveness, attraction, affection, and trust. Many say it's not an emotion in the way we typically understand them, but an essential physiological drive. There are countless songs, books, poems, and other works of art about love. You probably have one in mind as we speak. You know, there's always something out there in our mind that, you know, that has love attached to it. So there's lots of love songs out there that we think about. So yet, despite being one of the most studied behaviors, it is still the least understood. For example, researchers debate whether love is a biological or cultural phenomenon. So, how do you know you're feeling love for someone? I wish Joe was here, but, you know, maybe he's listening in the background, but him and his phone and his app, I don't know. Anyway, so maybe he'll go back and listen. What are some of the signs of love? Researchers have made distinctions between feelings of liking and loving another person. According to this gentleman, Vic Rubin's scales of liking and loving, romantic love is made up of three elements. Attachment, which is needing to be with another person and desiring physical contact and approval. Caring, valuing the other person's happiness and needs as much as your own. And intimacy, sharing private thoughts, feelings, and desires with the other person. Based on this view of romantic love, Rubin developed two questionnaires to measure these variables known as Rubin's scales of liking and loving. While people tend to view people like they like as pleasant, love is marked by being devoted, possessive, and confiding in one another. Are there different types of love? Yep. Yes, there are. Not all forms of love are the same. And psychologists have identified a number of different types of love that people may experience. They are friendship type of love, even though it's a friendship, involves liking someone and sharing a certain degree of intimacy. Infatuation. This form of love often involves intense feelings of attraction without a sense of commitment. It often takes place early in a relationship and may deepen into a more lasting love. I'm infatuated with him, but I don't know if I love him yet. They haven't gotten to that way. You know, passionate love. This type of love is marked by intense feelings of longing and attraction. It often involves an idealization of the other person and a need to maintain constant physical closeness. I love you. I'm passionate about you. Then they have compassionate/companionate love. This form of love is marked by trust, affection, intimacy, and commitment. Yes, yes, yes. And then this is one that I've not heard of. Unrequited love. This form of love happens when one person loves another who does not return those feelings. So basically, they're saying it's one-sided. That one-sided love is hard and harsh. You know, you're in love with somebody, you follow them around like a little puppy dog, and they're not seeing you. They're in love with somebody else. They just not studying you, as they say. They just don't even know you're around, but you are so infatuated. So in love with this person, and they're not even studying you. So you got to do something about it. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You got to figure out what you need to do to get that person's attention. Robert Sternberg's Triangular Theory of Love, triangle, that love triangle, boy, oh, boy, I'm trying to tell you. Specifically, psychologist Robert Sternberg developed his well-regarded triangular theory of love in the early 1980s. So it hasn't been around all that long. It's been about, what, 44 years about. Much research has built upon his work and demonstrated its universality across cultures. So it's not just one culture or two cultures, but cultures. Sternberg broke love into three components: intimacy, passion, and commitment. They interact to produce seven types of love. Okay. What seven types of love are they? Friendship. You have intimacy. Infatuation. You have passion. Empty love. You have a commitment love, you have intimacy and passion. Companionate, is basically just intimacy. Fatuous is commitment and passion, and consummate, intimate, compassion, and commitment. So, what does this all mean? Is love influenced by biology or by culture? Is it a feeling? You know how you have those tingly feelings in your stomach because you got butterflies and stuff like that? Or is it culture? Learn how to love is a learned thing. Love is most likely influenced by both biology and culture that we express. Let me see here. Although hormones and biology are important, the way we express and experience love is also influenced by our own conception of love. Yes, some researchers suggest that love is a basic human emotion, just like happiness and anger, while others believe that it is a cultural phenomenon that arises partly due to social pressures and expectations. Research has found that romantic love exists in all cultures, which suggests that love has a strong biological component. It is. It's all about the heart to me. It is a part of human nature to seek out and find love. Everybody wants somebody to love, even children. A lot of times they find, that special friend, that, you know, that invisible friend somebody to love, somebody that if their mother is not loving them like they should, or a stuffed toy or something. But everybody wants to be loved. Well, most people want to be loved or nurtured. However, culture can significantly experience and display is love an emotion? That's what we're talking about tonight. Love is an emotion, or is love something else? Hold on, people are calling me on the radio. Love, darling, there you go. Psychologists, sociologists, and researchers disagree somewhat, let me see, on the characterization of love. Many say it under, many say it's not an emotion in the way we typically understand them. But in the sense of psychological drive, on the other hand, the American Psychological Association defines it as a complex emotion. Still, others draw a distinction between primary and secondary emotions and put love in the latter category. You know how that goes. Maintaining that it derives from a mix of primary emotions. Mm-hmm. How to show love to another person. How do you do that? How do we do that? There is no single way to practice love. Every relationship is unique, and each person brings their own history and needs some things that you can show love to the other, to people you care about. That includes be willing to be vulnerable. Hold on just a second. You know how it is when people be trying to holler at you. Let me see. Hold on. Be willing to forgive. You know, that's a hard thing for some people. They just want to hold that grudge and they don't want to forgive. It just seems like, you know, be the bigger person and forgive. Sometimes, you know, a person will love you even more because you do forgive. Do your best and be willing to apologize when you make mistakes. Now, that is a hard one for a lot of people as well. Do your best to be willing to apologize when you make mistakes. Let them know that you care. Listen to them, to what they have to say. Prioritize spending time with other people or the other person. Are they important in your life? Are they not as important in your life? You want to make them a top priority, or just something to do, you know, like a little toy, and then put them on the shelf and then, you know, go back and pull them back off the shelf. Nah, that's not good. Reciprocate loving gestures and acts of kindness. Recognize and acknowledge their share things about yourself, you know. Talk about yourself. Talk about things that you like, don't like. As Joe would say, write a list and tell them, you know, what you want, you know, what you don't want, what you like and you don't like, your peas and your pet peas and everything else. When you talk, that makes for a good conversation. You're a good conversation piece, but you got to speak up. You got to tell the person how you feel and what you like and don't like. Then you can't say, well, I didn't tell you, or I didn't know. Or you didn't know because I told you. But then a lot of times people forget. So you have to be a little soft sometimes unless you just write all these things down. This is my pros and this is my cons. Or what do they call them? They're non-negotiables. That cracks me up. Show some love. Show affection. You know, if you want somebody, you're going to show affection, you know, touching their shoulder, touching their hand. You know, don't get too aggressive and, you know, go all in. You know, even though Joe wants to know if you can fall in love in 3 dates, you can. You can fall in love at first sight. You know, some people do, you know. You may fall in love with them, but have they fallen in love with you? That's the main question. Make it unconditional. Unconditional love is the best. Regardless of what happens, make it unconditional. And that means, you know, don't love for this and don't love for that, but love for regardless, you know. Somebody may have, you know, I want to say, they may have vitiligo, okay, which is a dis-ease of your skin. You know, you lose your pigmentation. Some people may have, maybe blind in one eye. They have to wear a patch. Some people may be bald. And women may be bald, but you can still love her. And the same thing with men. Men may be bald, and you can still love him. They may have, you know, walk with a limp. There's a lot of things, you know, you can make unconditional. If you don't love that person, you're going to love them unconditionally, regardless of their faults and so on and so forth. How love impacts your mental health, that's something that we need to talk about because, as we talked about earlier, you know, if you hold things in as a man or even as a woman, it's going to attack your, not just your mental health, but your whole body. Love, attachment, and affection have an important impact on the well-being and quality of life. Loving relationships have been linked to lower risk of heart disease, decreased risk of dying after a heart attack because that person wants to live. A lot of times they fight to live. Yes, they will. Better health habits. If you have someone in your life, you know you want to look better for them. You want to look just as good as you can. You know, you want to, you know, keep that weight off. And some people said, no, girl, you need to put on some weight because you're looking a little bit thin. So after you put on a few pounds, girl, it's all in the right place. And the more you can love, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. increased longevity. You know, a lot of times when people are in love and they get to be older and one of them passes away, there goes their heart. They don't want to live anymore. Then a lot of times a person may die 2 or 3, 4, less than a week later because that is their love bug. That is the person that they love, they've been with all their life. Next thing you know, I can't live without my love bug. I just can't. There's nothing for me to live for, especially if you're older, you know. They get lost, and some people may go out looking for somebody else, but, you know, I don't know if that's far and few in between, but hey, lower stress levels, yes, like I was saying, you don't get as many headaches when you love somebody or somebody loves you, or you're not so much stress on your body, like I was saying, with ulcers and headaches. Diabetes, you lower the risk of diabetes because, you know, that person loves you unless you're just going to love them to death with sugar sweets and everything else. But if you have somebody in your life looking at you and taking care of you, shaboo. Love you to life. Love you forever. Tips for cultivating love. You want to cultivate love? Lasting relationships are marked by deep levels of trust, commitment, and intimacy. You can be intimate without getting deep down and dirty intimate. You can just be intimate, just, you know, just snuggling and just, you know, loving each other. Just, you know, you don't have to be sex all the time. It doesn't. It really doesn't. You could be intimate in so many other ways. Some things that you can do to help cultivate loving relationships include try loving kindness meditation. It is a technique often used to promote self-acceptance, and reduce stress, but it has also been shown to promote a variety of positive emotions and improve interpersonal relationships. LKM, Loving Kindness Meditation, involves meditating while thinking about a person you love or care about. Boy, that can send you into an oasis of something else. You forget about everybody else that's around you. You're just like, can't wait to get to my girl. Can't wait to get to my man. It's just like, loof, just thinking about him. Love and LKM involves meditating while thinking about a person you love or care about, concentrating on warm feelings and your desire for their well-being and happiness. See, that's when you know you love them. You just want the best for that other person because you love them so much and you just can't wait to see them again. And as Joe would always say, and I always say, communicate. Talk to the person. Everybody's needs are different. We know that. So the best way to ensure that your needs and your loved ones' needs are met is to talk about them. Discuss what's wrong. Discuss your day. And that may just, you know, a good massage, you know, meditation massage. LKM is a love, loving kindness massage, too. Shoot. Just that touchy-feely, because a lot of times people don't get that touch, that feel, that helps you relieve so much tension. It's like, oh, Lord, just a touch from another person. Helps relieve the tension. The best way to ensure that your needs and your loved ones' needs are met is to talk about them, as I said a minute ago. Helping another person feel loved involves communicating that love to them through words and deeds. As Pastor Beecham was saying, you know, you can tell someone all you want, but you got to show love, you know, even if you never say anything. If you show someone you love them, that is a long-lasting love. Some ways to do this include showing that you care, making them feel special, telling them they are loved, and doing things for them, little things, you know, massaging their feet, massaging their head, their neck, you know, just, you know, say, lay down, you know, let me get the hot oils, baby, and candle lights out and just, you know, get buck naked, and just massage, you know, that touches us like, oh, my gosh, it just feels so good. Okay, tackle conflict in a healthy way. Never arguing is not necessarily a sign of a healthy relationship. More often than not, it means that people are avoiding an issue rather than discussing it. You know, there's ways to talk about things, not people. You know, this, you know, if something's bothering you about somebody else, bring it to the table. And they will appreciate that more than you just keeping it to yourself and not even talking. Because if you don't talk about it, like I said earlier, it's going to build up ulcers, headaches, tension. And then you're going to wish that you had talked about it earlier until it boils up in you, and it's not a good thing. Get it out when it first bothers you, and then let it go. Freeze it. All right. Rather than avoid conflict, focus on hashing out items in ways that are healthy in order to move a relationship forward in a positive way. Yes, 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 yes. In a positive way, okay? Negative emotions associated with love. Ooh. And I think I'm going to... Yeah. Okay. Negative emotions associated with love. As Shakespeare said, the course of love never did run smooth. Love can vary in intensity and can change over time. It is associated with a range of positive emotions, including happiness, excitement, life satisfaction, and euphoria, but it can also result in negative emotions such as jealousy and stress. No relationship is perfect. No relationship is perfect. No relationship is perfect. So there will always be problems, conflicts, misunderstandings, and disappointments that can lead to distress and or heartbreak. Some of the potential pitfalls of experiencing love include anxiety, depression, increased stress, jealousy, obsessiveness, possessiveness, and sadness. The anxiety, you get anxious about everything, and then you start, you know, second-guessing things and people, and, you know, that's not a good thing because, you know, you just get anxious, and it's probably not that deep if you just put it out there and just say, hey, babe, this is bothering me. Can we talk about it? Let's go, you know, let's not talk about it at home. That way, you know, we're not going to raise our voices, or sit in the car and raise your voice in the car if necessary and just go for a drive or go to the park and walk around the park. And depression. People get depressed when they, you know, get into conflicts. And there's that conflict resolution, but you don't have to be depressed. You can, like I say, if you talk about your conflicts, you know, that takes off the negative emotions and the stress and everything else and jealousy, because that's not a cute look. The next thing you know, you have tension all up in your neck and you got to go to the massage or get a massage, because, you know, you just, it's all that tension that's built up. It doesn't have to be. You know, the more you talk to your counterpart, the less tension you'll have on your bodies. Jealousy. You done did something, and, you know, you talking to a man or a woman, and your man and your woman saw you talking to so-and-so, or somebody went and, oh, did you know that so-and-so's talking to this person or that person? What? I never did like that person, blah, 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 blah. It's not that deep. You know, let's talk about it. That's what this show's about. Let's talk about it. You don't have to be jealous. You don't have to be. And a lot of times people will throw mess into your stress and make it even worse, because they want you, okay? So they will try to make things unbearable for you because they want you. So they'll try to mess up your marriage or your relationship. And good. Obsessiveness. Just like the movie Obsessed with, what's her name? Beyonce and Idris Elba and the other woman. She was obsessed with Idris Elba. And boy, she got towed up from the flow up and towed down from the flow down. She was alive at the end of the show, let's just put it like that. And possessiveness. If you possess somebody, your mind, and you can't do nothing else, that's not good, because then that person who you possess is going to go out and do things behind your back, and that's not a good look. So you need to not be possessive, because, you know, that's just going to put a stress on everything, and it's not going to be a good look for you. You got to think about it. You know, being possessive, you like your piece of property and put you on the shelf and take you back down. It's like, no, I am supposed to be next to you, not put on the, I'm not a trophy wife, and you're not a trophy husband, so hey, you don't possess me. I'm not a piece of property. I'm not a slave. Although some people treat other folks as slaves, and, you know, that's not good. Sadness, well, you know, we do get sad on occasion, you know, from things that happen. You know, brighten up a person's life if you see that they're sad. Baby, what's wrong? Is there something I could do to brighten up your day, you know? Even a smile will help brighten up a day. All right. While people are bound to experience some negative emotions associated with love, it can become problematic if those negative feelings outweigh the positive, or if they start to interfere with either person's ability to function normally. And a lot of times that will happen. All those negative things that I gave you will throw a person's, psyche off. It's like, oh, something, right. my chakras are off. I need to, you know, clear my chakras and stuff like that. Ah! You know, it's going to throw off their ability to function normally, as they say. Something just ain't right. I just don't feel right. You know, you just threw me off my game, and so on and so forth. But, hey, you talk through it, and it don't have to be that way. Relationship counseling, excuse me, can be helpful in situations where couples need help coping with vacation, stress, or emotional issues. Yes, relationship counseling does help, but both have to be wanting it to help. Because it can't be one-sided. You know, both of you got to go to the counseling so both can hear what the counselor has to say. Oh, Jimmy, this is what the counselor said we need to do. Well, I wasn't there, so I don't know. You'd be telling me some anything. So if you both go together, you won't have no rhyme or reason to say that's not what they said. Maybe if you heard something different, then have them talk about it. Have them discuss what you don't understand or what you think you heard. So make sure you get on the right page so that everything is right proper. History of love. Yes, the history of love. Only fairly recently has love become the subject of science. In the past, the study of love was left to the creative writer to depict for us the necessary conditions of loving, according to Sigmund Freud. In consequence, it becomes inevitable that science should concern herself with the same materials whose treatment by artists has given enjoyment to mankind for thousands of years, yet. Research on love has grown tremendously since Freud's remarks. Yes, there's all kind of love. But early explorations into the nature and reasons for love drew considerable criticism. During the 1970s, U.S. Senator William Proxmire railed against the researchers who were studying love and derided the work as a waste of taxpayers' dollars. Now look at everybody. Everybody's all messed up. They should have let them go because we're a messed up congregation, I guess you can say. We're a messed up world. There's not enough love in the world. What does the video say? What the world needs? They do sing that song, but that's not the how that song goes. All we need is love. Dun, 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 dun. All we need is love. L-O-V-E, love. All we need is love. You know, it makes the world go around. It makes things so much better. And despite early resistance, research has revealed the importance of love in both child development and adult health. Yes. If you don't love your child when they are young, they will grow up to be monsters. They will grow up to be monsters. And I might have to do a segment on, spoil the child and spare the rod and spoil the child. Anyway, beat that child. Not like that, because I think that's one thing that's missing in our household now, you know. Well, I'm going to call CPS. I'm calling the police on you. Go ahead. Tell them to take me to jail. I want to be in cell block number this, because, you know, you're a bad kid. You baby's kids and baby's kids. And I'm going to talk about baby's kids. How do you raise children? Baby's kids. I may have to talk about that on Thursday. Who are baby's kids? Baby's kids are bad kids. Them's the kind of kids that you want to take somewhere and spank them, to put it politely. The village couldn't even raise that child. But anyway, so does unconditional love make a healthy relationship? No, I'll have to say no, it does not. It does not make a healthy relationship. but let's dive into 5 signs you're a helpless romantic. Let me see here. A helpless romantic. One moment, please. Let me see here. How do you know if you are a hopeless romantic? Five languages of love. Let me see. I can't do that. One moment, please. Five signs you're a hopeless romantic. All right. This is by Sanjana Gupta. This is updated on May 15, 2023. Okay, so let's figure this out. If you're a hopeless romantic, you probably have an idealized view of love. You tend to think of relationships as a fairy tale, like romances, and look for your soulmate in every partner you're with. I used to do that when I was young. Regardless of any red flags, yes, Lord Jesus, regardless of the red flags or past experiences that might suggest otherwise, you truly believe that ultimately love conquers all. Hopeless romantics wear rose-colored glasses as their desire to love and be loved causes them to see the fantasy version of the person they're with. They don't see no flaws. They just can't see straight. And then people say, you need to snap out of it because you're just not looking at this thing right. This man has you whooped. Instead of reality, says Sabrina Romanoff, she's a phys D teacher or phys D provider, clinical psychologist and professor at Yeshiva University. This projection of love often isn't grounded in the depth of intimacy and connection, which is often rather unromantic, but instead in the pursuit of chasing the fairy tale narrative of love. Claudia Deiano, she's a licensed marriage and family therapist, an author of The Seven Destinies of Love. Being a hopeless romantic can involve ups and downs. While it can mean you approach love and relationships with positivity and hopefulness, it can also mean that you get easily hurt or disappointed if reality doesn't live up to your expectations. Very Well Mind, that's who the site that we're on, ask the relationship experts to share some signs you're a hopeless romantic and what to do if you are. You have a fairy tale like view of love. If you're a hopeless romantic, chances are you love fairy tales and rom-coms where charming characters meet, fall in love, and live happily ever after. You probably have a fantasy of what your happily ever after looks like. And you probably date as means to find a partner to fit the fantasy, says Dr. Romanoff. You get invested in relationships very quickly. Oh, well, that sounds like somebody I know. When you start dating someone rather than taking it slow, cautious approach to dating, you tend to get invested in the relationship early on. So, for example, you may find yourself fantasizing about a permanent future with a person you've only been on a few dates with. Where are you, Joe? Says Dr. Romanoff. Or you might spend a lot of time thinking about the person, replaying everything they said, and forecasting the future, all of which creates a false sense of closeness and an intense feeling for the person. Dr. Romanoff adds, you idealize your partner. You're looking for a soulmate, okay? Everyone you meet might be the one, in quotes, air quotes. This might cause you to idealize your partner in a way that doesn't match your actual experience of them, that helps you cope with their negative qualities, Dr. Yano says. If you tend to put your partner on a pedestal, you can't reach chances. You can't reach chances are you're a hopeless romantic. You got a lot. You give a lot to each relationship. You put your whole heart into this. Okay, you put everything in there. Okay? Oh, my goodness. You must invest a lot of time, effort, and emotional energy in every relationship, Dr. Romanoff says. But you might also spend a lot of money on your partner, taking them to expensive dates or buying them lavish presents. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. However, it may be one-sided if your partner is not on the same page. So you may be giving a lot more than you're getting. And if it's one-sided, that means you're a hopeless romantic. And that's red flags, too. I like the color red, but I don't like red flags. You ignore potential red flags when that happened to me. It's like, boy, I should have ran the whole other way. Red flags are warning signs that your partner may not be the right person for you. That was has-been number two. It's important that people heed these signs in order to avoid major ruptures down the road, Dr. Romanoff explains. If you're hopeless romantic, you may ignore these red flags and turn a blind eye to the person's imperfections so you can still have your fairy tale fantasy. I don't know about all that, says Dr. Romanoff. You are more interested in casting the role of your perfect partner than truly getting to know the other person for who you are. Ooh, interesting. Is being a hopeless romantic a good thing? Well, being a hopeless romantic can be a good thing as well as a bad thing. On the positive side, though, being a hopeless romantic can be helpful as opening yourself up to love requires significant vulnerability, says Dr. Romanoff. Despite past heartbreaks and pains, hopeless romantics see the good in others and believe in their potential. Yeah, you try to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. On the flip side, though, however, having unrealistic fairy tale-like expectations is not healthy because our relationship can't possibly sustain it, says Deliano. Unrealistic idealization can be harmful as it keeps you from seeing the relationship as it truly is, the true you and the other person, partner. In the wholeness of who they are, you may have to kiss a lot of frogs, Sal, or a lot of toadettes, or frogettes, I don't know if you want to call it. Research shows that unrealistic expectations can be harmful to your mental well-being and lead to a lower relationship satisfaction. Ain't that the truth? Claudia Deano, while a positive attitude to relationships is helpful, it is important to be able to see the relationship dynamic in a way that doesn't project unrealistic views, emotions, or idealizations onto it. What to do if you're a hopeless romantic? Okay, this is what the experts say. Evaluate your partner holistically. Dr. Romanoff says it's important to reflect on the things you like, dislike, and develop a more holistic view of the person and forces you to consider the things that you might make you incompatible. Know your needs and set boundaries. Be clear about who you are, what you want, and the treatment you will and won't accept in a relationship. And don't lower your standards or betray your boundaries because you don't want to be alone or you're scared you won't find love, says Dr. Romanoff. Don't accept treatment that is below your standards in exchange for that love. No, go two steps up. So when you do fall down, yep, that person is right there with you. Recognize, you better recognize your strengths. Work on recognizing your strengths, your values, identity and emotions so that you feel more capable of withstanding all the things life and relationships throw at you, says Dr. Deano. Recognizing your own strengths can keep you from unrealistically idealizing a partner or pursuing the relationships in order to avoid being alone. Consider therapy. Yes, consider therapy. Because, you know, when you're a hopeless romantic, can't nobody get through you. So you need therapy. You need help. You need assistance. You need guidance. You need counseling. Oftentimes, we idealize our partners because we are scared of being hurt, alone, or abandoned says Dr. Diana. A mental health care professional can work with you to explore why you tend to deflect seeing your partner's negative qualities, teach you how to cope with the uncomfortable feelings of fear or insecurity, and help you build a healthier attachment. Yes, 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 yes. And I may go into the topic, how to date yourself and why you should. How to date yourself and why you should, because then you get to know you, the real you, the whole you, and nothing but the you, you. Yes, that is the truth. If you date yourself, boy, oh boy, you find out more about the person who you want and want to be like. I may have to go into that at another time. Yes, y'all, at another time. Because, you know, if you date you and you don't like you, then you're not going to like your partner. Think about it that way. You don't like you, you're not going to like your partner, and you're not going to give up on your partner quicker than quick. Trust me. Definitely will give up on yourself quicker than quick. Let me see here. Oh, yes. Let me see. What else can we talk about this evening before we, the next 15 minutes? Let me see. I think there's five love languages. Let me see how long this is. That's too long. Well, you know, hold on. Let me see. Five love languages. Describe five ways that people receive and express love in a relationship. These are words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch, and acts of service and receiving gifts. Knowing your partner's love language and letting them know yours is a way to help you feel better loved and appreciated. Author and pastor Gary Chapman describes how to use these love languages to show your partner you care for them in a way that speaks to your heart. And what are their five love languages? Okay. Words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch, acts of service, and receiving gifts. Words of affirmation is about expressing affection through spoken words, praise, or appreciation. You know what that means. You know, you look so good tonight. Ooh, I can't wait to, That's how I would say. When this is someone's primary love language, they enjoy kind words and encouragement, uplifting quotes, love notes, and cute text messages. You can make this person's day by complimenting them or pointing out what they do well. Yes. Your hair looks good today. I just want to run my fingers through it. Quality time. Someone with this love language values your full presence when you are together. They feel most loved if you give them your undivided attention and spend time together in a meaningful and interactive way. This means putting down the cell phone, turning off the computer, making eye contact, and thoughtfully interacting and actively listening. Yes, some people with love languages are looking for quality over quantity. Physical touch. Yes, 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 the physical touch. You don't say nothing else but just run your hand behind somebody's back or through their hair or on their leg or down the side of your arm, child. Ooh-wee. That's just enough to send me over the roof, over the hedge, as they say. A person with physical touch as their primary love language feels loved through physical affection. aside from sex, they feel loved when their partner holds their hand, touches their arm, and gives them a massage at the end of the day, just like us. It's that physical touch, that connection. If that connection bond was broken, you would be up two creeks. This person's idea of a wonderful date night might be cuddling on the couch or watching a movie, slow dancing together with a lot of physical contact, or taking a long walk together while holding hands. They feel most love when physically interacting with your partner. If you interact physically, taboo. You got them for life. Act of service, if that's your love language. Acts of service are nice things you do for your partner that make them feel loved and appreciated. Some people you need to give everything. Helping with the dishes, running errands, vacuuming, putting gas in the car. If your partner's main love language is service, they'll notice this and appreciate little things you do for them. They tend to perform acts of service and kindness for others as well. Yes, they do. So then they get that big old smile. You're doing this for me? Oh, that's so nice. I can't believe you're doing this for me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. People enjoy receiving gifts as a part of their primary love language. Do not necessarily expect a large or expensive present. It is more the effort and thoughtfulness behind the gift that counts. Yes, when you take the time to pick out a gift specifically for them, I don't know if I said that word, it tells them you are thoughtful and really know and care about them and their preferences. People with love language, with this love language, can often remember every little gift they have ever received from their loved ones because it makes such an impact on them. Yes. Are there other love languages? Oh, yeah, there's other love languages. You know there are. According to Chapman's framework, and this person, Chapman, is the person who we talked about in an earlier segment. Let me see. Where are we here? Okay. According to Chapman's framework, the original five love languages have stayed the same, but that doesn't mean there aren't other ways to express and receive love. What is other different ways? Let me tell you. Let me count them. 1, 2, 3. Kidding. This is just one framework, and there have been several proposed additions over the years. For example, the ideas like shared experiences and emotional security. The more we think about ourselves and what fills our relationship tank, the more ways we have to help our partner love us in the way we most want to be loved. Yes, 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 yes. All right. Let's take a love language quiz right quick, a real, real, real quick one. In a relationship, do you feel more loved when your partner tells you I love you or praises something you did, surprises you with a meaningful gift, plans a trip for just the two of you, runs the errands and does the laundry, holds your hand while you're walking? That would be nice, but it's just me, so I'm okay with something else. Answering these questions can give you a hint your love language might be. You could also try to recall the sorts of things you ask for in a relationship or consider how you express love to your partner. Your partner's love language might not be the same as yours. When couples have different primary love languages, there are bound to be misunderstandings. However, love that word, however, if your partner learns to speak your love language and you theirs, they will likely feel loved, appreciated, and ultimately happier in the relationship. So that's love and emotions for today, y'all. Hopefully you enjoyed that, enjoyed Pastor Beecham on the line, and Joe for a hot minute, and of course Eddie, my road dog out there. Hey, how you doing, Eddie? Thank you, thank you, thank you, as always, for joining us. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, now we are done, and we're going to announcements. There are people who were born on today, and I want to wish those out there in the worldwide listening audience happy birthday. And if it was yesterday, happy birthday yesterday. It was Monday. I wish everybody happy birthday on Sunday, for Sunday and for yesterday. So we're going forward. Happy birthday on tomorrow, but we'll be having Bible study. And Reverend Ron Marshall will be conducting Bible study tomorrow. So, yes, we're having Bible study. And he's with the True Worshippers Ministry out of Little Rock, Arkansas, so he'll be conducting Bible studies. So come on with your Bibles, your NIVs, your New King James, your King James Version, your Revised King James, however you have, your Bible Gateway. Just come and join us tomorrow, because Reverend Ron is going to be teaching us. Then on Thursday, Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. I may talk about Bebe's kids. Yeah, you know Bebe's kids, them bad kids, Bebe's kids. Let me see that one. I think that's what I'm going to talk about, Bebe's kids. Basically, raising children and children being disrespectful. That's what we're going to talk about, Bebe's kids. But I say, who in the heck are Bebe's kids? Well, come on Thursday, and you'll know exactly who Bebe's kids are. And this second Sunday is March the 10th with Pastor J. Rick Rollins from the Edge Community Church of Central Florida out of Tampa. He's going to be bringing the message. He brings a hearty and heartfelt message and just, ooh, make you thank, not think but thank, T-H-A-N-K, not thank you but thank. Thank real hard, yeah. And then next Tuesday, the 12th and 14th of and Thursday, Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. No, tell them we're going to talk about. Hey, you may have a subject. So bring it, bring it, bring it. May take about, talk about something else. Another third Sunday, March 17th, is Reverend Carolyn Williamson out of Yakima. She will be bringing the message. Then the 19th is, Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. The 20th, we have Bible study again. 21st, Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. The 24th, it's the fourth Sunday. Reverend Ronnie Marshall will be bringing the word to us. And then the Tuesday and Thursday after that, it's going to be moi talking about. Let's talk about it. Don't know what we'll talk about, but we'll find something to talk about. Then June the 21st. Oh, before we do that, the 10th, that's this Sunday, Reverend Ron Peterson, Arlo Peterson, are up for a Grammy for the short documentary entitled The Barber of Little Rock. So if you want to find it, you can go to YouTube and put in The Barber of Little Rock or The New Yorker and put in the same, The Barber of Little Rock. It's a short documentary, and it's up for an Oscar. So hopefully we will watch the Oscars this Sunday and see if they won. Preferably they will, because I'm going to say, is done in Jesus' name, you done won. And I am a number one international best-selling author in the U.S. and in the U.K. for She Said Yes to Herself Unapologetically. And, excuse me. And if you want a copy, a signed copy, it's available, $31, and that includes shipping and handling. And it will be signed. I'll be more than happy to send it out to you. And if you want a copy, you can hit me up at Let's Do It Radio @gmail.com or on Instagram and Facebook. You can DM me, DM a sister, or text me if you know my phone number. And many of you do. So holler at a sister. The Eagle Saints Outreach Missionary International has Bible study in the mornings at 3 a.m. Pacific. Yes, 3 a.m. Pacific, that's the time you're getting back from the club, just kidding. And 6 a.m. Eastern, they study the Bible, and they've been doing it every morning at that time. And if you want to join them, the conference line is 605-472-5587, 205-472-5587, and the PIN is 931-403-POUND. That's 931-403-POUND. And if you want to keep Let's Do Radio on the air, you can send a donation to moi and Cash App, $ISCVALCOUR, or to Venmo at MZ-INEZ, or if you know Marcel or Martel, you can send it through Zelle. You know me. I'm always trying to make you laugh, smile, giggle, tee hee, and guffaw. Haha, chortle. You know, snort. You know how it is when you snort. So, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today. Yes, joining me today. And if you have a topic you'd like to discuss, you know what to do. You can send me an email at letsgetradio@gmail.com. Yes, you can. And we could talk about your subject. And you could be my co-host if you'd like. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And if you have a topic, you can always share it on social media. Yes, yes, yes. Share it so more people can come and listen to what you have to say. Get off your chest with Miss Inez. Yes. And do you have anything on your chest this evening besides hair and your hands clutching your pearls? Just kidding. So, you can join us on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. And holla, because that's what you like to do. Y'all like to holla at me. You know who I am. I have been your hostess for the evening, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anaisaku Design. And you can hit me up at the same at www.anaisevalcour.com or on Facebook and Instagram under the same, ANAISEVALCOUR, and see what I'm doing. And the thought of the week is, if you're not changing, you're not evolving. And anything that doesn't evolve becomes extinct. I don't think you want to become extinct, do you? Nah. So, thank you all again for joining us today, and for our panel, as I say, our on-air listeners and callers. Thank you, and thank you to Frank Gabaldo, who joined us in the chat room for a hot minute, and Pastor Beecham, and my other people who joined me. Thank you. As we close out today, what is love? Can you tell me what is love? I know somebody who can tell me what is love. Hathaway can tell you what is love. Have a good week until we meet again tomorrow with Bible study with Pastor Reverend Ron Marshall. What is love?
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more.
What is love? That's what we talked about today, love and emotions. Thank you all for joining us this evening. Stay safe. Stay loved. Love on somebody. Love somebody. Show somebody some love. And, you know, hopefully you will find that true love. You know, you just got to be patient. Love is patient. Love is kind. And you got to be one of the two, if not all of them. So love you all. Thank you again for joining us as we conclude today, March the 5th, 2024. Blessings, peace, salutations. Have a good night.